Good afternoon. Welcome to The Journey 8. I'm your host, Reverend Judy Hosner, and I invite you to sit back and take a few moments to breathe as we share this journey together. Monday night at 8 p.m. on the Eastern Coast here, and I'm Reverend Judy Hosner, and this is the Journey 8. Not one, not two, but eight. And I'm here tonight. Every month and a half to 2 months, we do a specific show for anti-bullying, which is my soapbox, if everybody doesn't know that, they know it now. And so tonight, the second half of the show, we're going to have a person that I believe we have all the connections right this time, and we're going to have Lori Marshall on the show. So hopefully that works out because I'm excited. Woo! Okay, and we just heard, of course, from my beloved group, Will of Titus. Their album is on iTunes now and several other places, and it's called, yes, Awake My Soul. I hate getting old, don't you? I fight it every day. All right, so if you want to call in just to listen, you can do that. It's 716-748-0150. If you'd like to talk to me, which would be wonderful since this is a talk show. You call in, say hi, whatever. That number is 888-627-6008. And call me. I'd like to hear from you. Tonight, I'm flying solo tonight. However, in the chair next to me, where Ellen used to sit, is one of my Starbucks bears. And I have a prop, shall we say, to take that hallowed seat, which is awaiting her. Yeah, she comes and visits. She'll be in and out. She has some serious work that she's doing towards her ministry. And so I'm just setting her free and letting her be my field person or something. Anyway, so let's do a couple updates for all 12 of you that are out there. And we'll start with the Journey 8's webpage. I have a big zero for that. I have been offered some help, but due to my health and the Christmas album, which I am frantically trying to finish, I have set the webpage aside. And part of that is not big. It's not a big deal because you can go on my favorite page at bbsradio.com and look at the webpage there. It's very informative. They give us, hosts, a lot of latitude and a couple pages. So look at it. It's a little outdated, but not bad. And check in with it every once in a while because I am going to be making some changes. You can also listen to some of my music on Reverb Nation by just punching in Judy Hosner. And I think there's some studio stuff there. Okay, so that's that. And, of course, the Christmas album, November 21st. And I'm going to take a few minutes to pull this around, and it kind of doesn't have anything to do with bullying. And, of course, you're not surprised, right? Because I'm ADD, EFG, and all those other initials. But it's something that I feel compelled to redo. I spoke this piece a couple weeks ago and got some interesting response from it. Interesting is a good word. And I think there's still some people out there that need to hear it. In fact, I know it. So let me get it out of the way. Not out of the way, but let's get to that. And then we're going to talk about Angels and Doves, which is my favorite anti-bullying group, nonprofit. So here we are. How do we get in these messes? Yeah, how do we get in this mess? I recently had a friend come to me asking how to do things to help not get into the messes. How do I always get in these messes? I don't understand. Just that I'm forever digging out of trouble. I think that sounds pretty familiar to some of us, including me. So, she was literally asking me for spiritual help, and I'm kind of like, it's hard, especially when somebody says, everyone's out to get me. I just feel like it. Sometimes I can't get a break. So, you know, when that kind of stuff comes in front of me, I stop. And before I open my mouth, I think, especially about this person's situation, you know, I try not to generalize any spiritual advice or counseling. I really try, even if I don't know the person, to give an answer that would fit better. So I thought, and I said, self, seems to me I can't get a break. How do I fix her little black cloud that's always around here? So I come up with three things that keep bouncing back to me, and I called them the Hosner Helpful Hints. 3H. That's a 4-H club, isn't it? Okay. Hosner's Helpful Hints. Howdy. How did I get into this mess, people? Think of this. A school bus crossing. Remember in the old days when the school bus came to a railroad crossing? It stopped, and the driver always, stop, look, and listen. Stop. So stop making everyone else out to be the blame. Maybe you feel like you're always in a mess because you don't take the responsibility that you need to take to take your medicine and move on, as they say. Really, be a grown-up. Be responsible, you know? So stop making the excuses and stop the behavior. Now, that's a little rash. I would not say it quite that abruptly to someone, but the message would be the same. You gotta stop making everyone else out to be the bad guy. Start taking your medicine and moving on. It works. It's worked in my life. Second one is look, right? Stop, look. Look inside you. Look inside you for the answers. You're not going to find them on the TV. You're not going to find them in a bestseller book. You know? Really get in touch with your inside. I would say use the practice that I'm learning, which is be in the present. Mindful. Be in the present. You know? If you're looking for answers, you won't find them in the past. And they don't exist in the future. So look inside you. Figure it out. That doesn't mean that you can't do it with help. I'm encouraging you definitely to get, you know, some emotional help, some, you know, good help with meditation, and to really get rid of that little black cloud that's following you and wanting to rain on you. And finally, listen to your heart. And I will tell you, my friends and my partner will attest to this. I am a big believer in listening to your heart because that's what God's going to speak to you. It's not going to speak to you, you know, through some other media, you know, little silhouettes of angels. I suppose it could happen, but in your heart, not your head, is where your direct line to God is. And if you really want to know how to open that up, trust me, I can help you with that, because I had to learn it the hard way, and I wouldn't want you to learn it the hard way. You know, there's ways in which you can make yourself available to God. And when he knows that he's talking to you and you're really listening, you'd be surprised. Most of my sermons happen about 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning. Why? Because I'm quiet and usually sleeping. And the God phone rings, and that's all it takes. Stop, look, listen. If that works for you, then use it. do some research on living, you know, in the presence, in the present. Well, it's the presence too, the presence of God. Okay, now, angels and doves. Let's talk about angels and doves before we lead into Lori's half of the show. And I chose, first of all, a reminder that October is National Anti-Bullying Month. Yeah. So you still have a few weeks, and I encourage you to do something. Donate to a local anti-bullying program, or Angels and Doves is a phenomenal program. It's been around since, I don't know, I think about 2009 or 10, started by a mother and daughter. And it is a good program, 501c3 or whatever that nonprofit designation is. And they have what they call the Bull Program. And their little bull mascot is very cute. And what it is it's a peer-to-peer peacekeeping program using students, not adults. These are, you know, people of the same age and grade. And what they do is, of course, go into schools and try to get them to understand that bullying is really not cool. And if you are a bully, here's some help. If you are being bullied, here's some help. You know, both sides. They wear a Angels and Dove t-shirt, and I think they're so cool. And on the back it says, "You can talk to me," along with some other stuff. "You can talk to me" is like their theme. They, you know, try to get a peer-to-peer, we don't want to say counseling, but a listening. Someone that, you know, will listen and give them direction as far as where to go or what to do to help. Their goal, of course, is to prevent suicide. It's a tremendous percent of people or students that are bullied that end up feeling like there's no hope, there's no future, there's no help, and unfortunately they end their life. So this whole program, of course, is to avoid that happening by educating kids and by getting, you know, getting down and right with them. And I really encourage you to go to their webpage, this cute little webpage. It's called, of course, www.angelsand, which is the word, not the ampersand, angelsanddoves.com. And for those of you who may be business people and own a company or whatever, they do have a partners program, which is phenomenal. And if you're going to support a cause that is so important, this is probably one of my top five subjects, bullying, anti-bullying. And I think it really needs to change. We shouldn't have this happening to kids or adults. And that's one thing, you know, that we don't touch on very much. But adult bullying happens. Come on, how many of you out there are, you know, bullied at work or feel like you're being harassed? You know, it's not a childhood thing. People, adults, die from this almost as much as the kids do. Isn't that crazy? I mean, not crazy like woo-hoo, but crazy like it shouldn't be happening. Again, you know, there are outreaches. There are, what do they call them? Rescue resorts or timeout places where they can go and for a week or two and work on tools and skills to counteract so that they can go back to work or whatever their, you know, situation is and not feel so harassed. The other thing I wanted to talk about with angels and doves is they have a book, and it's called the Bully Book, and it's really cool. I actually went through it. It's a journal for kids 6 to 13, okay, which is the prime age where kids are, you know, tormented by this. And in the Bully Book, you have 40 daily journals. In other words, these are empty pages, obviously. And there's forms in there for the kids to write every day, you know, anything specific that will help them relay how they're feeling and what's going on. And parents, and this is the key, your parents need to read this book with you, not, you know, in the middle of the night when you're sleeping. You sit down every night and you journal, and then you get with your mom or your dad and you say, let's talk about this. Because, again, the theme, you can talk to me. Well, let's talk about this is the other side, I believe. And hopefully you have a parent who will not get crazy and will seek the help long before it becomes a suicide statistic. So the Bully Book, which is what it's called, ages 6 to 13, it's like $8. You order it from the Angels and Doves website, and you'd be surprised by just journaling. And maybe the kid's a little afraid to come out and say it, but if you're a smart enough parent, which most of you are, you will pick up the clues by reading this journal and hopefully jumping in and helping your kid. Okay? Partners, come on, guys. Call in or give them a donate button on their website, similar to the one that's on my page at BBS Radio, and you know, see if you can help them out. They don't get any government help. They're strictly a donations driven, and all their donations go either towards the publication of their material or to support their travels from, you know, where they're located, school to school. You know, they have to generate some money to afford that. So let's, you know, Angels and Doves. I mean, there's a lot of them out there. I just chose that one. It sticks with me. Okay. So that leads in to someone very special who has been trying desperately to connect and be on the show. And that is Lori Marshall, who has a lot of interest with children and is very active in anti-bullying. So I'm going to, actually, she's on the line, so we're going to cut her in a little early. And we're going to try and find out what she's been into lately. Lori, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me, Reverend Judy?
I can. Look at that. Miracles happen. We're together.
Oh, it's so exciting. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your show. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. So let's start with the basics. What is your prime passion?
Thank you for that question. My prime passion comes from the fact that I am heartbroken that so many children are not thriving in our country and in our world. And I address that challenge with training programs that teach creative collaboration so that every kid understands that they're a genius and they have an important role to play. And I do that through a nonprofit called Create Peace Project that uses, that does peace building training through the arts. And I also work with Community Matters that trains young people to recognize mistreatment and transform it with their friends all around the country. So those are two of my offerings and the work that I do. And the third one is I am working training teachers so that they understand that everyone in their room, including themselves, are a genius with an important role to play, and that they are encouraging the creativity and the originality of their students so that we can have innovators for the very challenging times that we are facing.
Mm. I have a question for you.
Tell me.
What impact do you see with the program? What's the first thing you see when the program is introduced to, say, a class of seventh graders, and they start becoming involved with it? What's the first thing you see in the way of change with them?
With the Create Peace Project's arts program, what I see is they become calm. When they start to paint, when they start to create, they sink into a place of safety, and having the creator flow through them, and they get more centered and grounded. With the work I'm doing in the bully prevention, what seems to deeply excite the kids that we're training is that they are so happy to have a higher purpose.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
What, if you had a perfect world, which we don't, but if you had a circumstance where you could make, let's say you had Aladdin's lamp and you had one wish, and you could make one thing change for the whole world and make it stay that way, what would it be?
What a great question. It would be for everyone to pay attention to their passion and their heartbreak and their joy and be able to be supported by offering gifts based on those three things.
Wow.
So everyone in the world would have a substantial, healthy way to support themselves through their passion, their heartbreak, their gifts, and their joy.
Yeah. I would imagine it's probably not such a hard thing. I mean, it probably is challenging, but with children, because they're still malleable, I guess. You know, they're still in the formative years, emotionally and physically to some sense. But with adults, you know, we're kind of set in our ways, and I'm trying to, for myself, get more centered by doing a mindful meditation. What do you use in trying to communicate your program?
I find that, again, when people start creating and they stop thinking, and they let the creative process, which is the creator, come through them and out their hand in painting and drawing, in a safe environment that they are transformed.
They're, wow.
Because when we create, we realize that we have an endless abundance of ideas inside of us. Just like on our earth, we have these billions of different forms that life and matter takes in our universe. And nature, which I use as the same word for God, nature is constantly generating new forms to deal with new circumstances. And when you understand that you have this capacity of creativity where you can always be putting colors and drawings and images together in new ways, it fights depression, it fights peer pressure, it fights our story that we're not good enough, because we tap into this divine source of creativity. And I'd love to hear your question. I just want to say I've worked with over 10,000 adults, including people at NASA and the Department of Interior and the Army Corps of Engineers, inviting them to make images of when they were at the right place at the right time in their work, and or an image of a shared vision of success. And there hasn't been anybody that hasn't generated a unique and powerful image, except for one woman who chose to walk out of the workshop.
Oh. Well, the question I was going to ask, and you kind of answered it, was I'm a firm believer in the fact that God has not stopped creating. You know, everybody has this, you know, image of 6 days and he stopped. But it's fact that science keeps finding new forms of life. Mm-hmm. And so when your program is successful with children and adults, I believe that falls into that new form of life creation type thing. You know, we have the ability, and you know this better than I in some ways, we have the ability to change anything on this earth that we want to change.
Yes.
You know, and so people that say, I'm helpless, you know, big brother this, or I can't get out of the rut I'm in, I have to work 6 jobs, you know, whatever, I don't have time. Sometimes those are the best subjects, best mm-hmm. people to create that sense of safety with. You know, I know for myself, you know, trying to schedule out my time and be more aware of things around me has been, you know, the goal, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in trying to start the program? In other words, do you travel to a certain part of the world, let's say Libya or something, and start the process? I mean, how does that work?
So it's organic growth based on networks of relationships, and the relationships just keep growing and growing. So I had the privilege of going to Sarajevo and creating a mural that's part of an international series of murals that I'm doing called Singing Trees. And every Singing Tree mural was inspired by an 8-year-old girl who said, after we made a painting with her whole school in Virginia, she said, I wish the whole world could see our painting and then the whole world would be happy. And then she said, what if the whole world made a painting together? Her name is Meredith Miller, and that was in 1999. And wow. I said, oh my goodness, what a great vision that is. Let's do it, and let's start with the children. And I had no idea how to do it and was very overwhelmed. And then I read a book called The Singing Tree by Kate Sarity, which is a fabulous middle school book for about racism in World War I in Europe. And there's a story there of her father, Kate Faraday's father, crawling all night long on his belly as a soldier in World War I to escape the enemy, and finding everything had been destroyed by war. And when the dawn came, one tree had survived, and there were hundreds of birds who aren't normally together singing a song that had never been heard before. And I saw that the earth is like the singing tree of the galaxy, and we can choose to destroy it and each other, or we can choose to create something beautiful that's never been seen before.
Yes.
In the 90s, I had the privilege of meeting a family who had fled the war in Bosnia, and their son and daughter were like 15 and 16, and I befriended them. And 20 years later, the daughter was the founder of Art Grupa, who believes that creativity is everyone's birthright. And she invited Create Peace Project, her organization, to come and to make a mural that would coincided with the 100th anniversary of where the place where World War I began.
Oh.
And people have word of mouth, and people have found the Singing Tree Project. And you can go to singingtreeproject.org, and there's a connection to instructions on how to make one. They've found me online, and a young artist facilitated one in a orphanage in Gujarat, India. An art teacher in Red River, Minnesota made one, and each singing tree is about envision success, about whatever issue a community feels it wants to address or is challenged by. So they've been made. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you have each one of them on your website, or is there a book?
Yes. I made a book of about half of them. There's about 40 of them now. If you go to singingtreeproject.org, you can see most of them. There's a book called The Singing Tree, A Growing Forest, that has instructions on how to make one and ways that it ties into other academic curriculum. Huh. And that's the story of the first 5 trees. And I have not made a book yet about the remaining trees, except for I just put together photographs of about half of them. And what I love about them is that they're so diverse. And they use the framework of a tree on the earth and space. And anyone is welcome to make one. We just ask that you send us photographs so we can include it in our forest.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So they can order the book from the website? Is that it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
And so when they go into the singingtreeproject.org, they're going to see some of your, or not your work, but the children's work, and then a place where they can order the book. And what else will they see?
So singingtreeproject.org is part of a nonprofit called Unity Through Creativity, which has merged with Create Peace Project. And they'll see products, other books. I have another book that is called Beating the Odds Now, 10 Steps for Teachers to Meet the Standards and Still Love What You Do. And this is a love letter to teachers, because I think they are my heroes. I was in the classroom for 30 years. Not totally. I also was an artist in residence, because the classroom's tough. It's really a tough place. This book supports the idea that everybody's affinities that are to be paid attention to, what the kids are interested in, and what, again, what their passions are. I'm encouraging teachers to bring the curriculum demands to meet the kids' interests, and to have the standards be there to fertilize their imagination, not to strangle them. Because they know, the teachers know, what will really excite the young people who are in their care. And so that book is also, there's a section that says products, and that book is also available. And they'll see lots of other great artwork.
Yeah, you know, the thing that strikes me when listening to you is, first of all, you're an amazing person to be able to juggle all those, projects. I barely can keep the radio show intact, much less, five other things.
My executive coach says that I have creative ADD, which she just nailed it on the head. So I have to work very hard to stay focused. So I appreciate your focus.
Yeah, I just have plain ADD and a little bit of E, F, G, and H, I right along there. And it's so refreshing to know that there's somebody out there, and I'm sure there's other programs too, I just haven't heard of them, that really, really focuses these kids on creativity. You know, one of the things that's so sad in the elementary and mid school, I guess in high school also, is the arts are disappearing. Teachers, have limited time to even talk about anything creative. It's reading, writing, arithmetic. And the new arithmetic is beyond me, and I'm a mechanical engineer. The way you guys count today is from Mars. Yeah. So I'm excited that, there's somebody tying these kids back into the most important thing we have as humans, our creative spirit.
Yes, and I love to train teachers on how to bring creativity into this very narrow bandwidth that they think they have, when in fact they have a much greater power than they often think they have. And I just read Tony Wagner's book, Creating Innovators, and he's in charge of Harvard's Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. And he studied six young people who are innovators, including the kid who invented the iPhone, who dropped out of Harvard and Exeter. And he analyzed what was it in their childhood, their schooling, that allowed them to be innovators. And it was three things. The adults in their life honored play, passion, and purpose. Mm. And he says that virtually every job in the future is going to demand innovation, because we are living in a time of enormous change. And our earth is saying, I will not tolerate being poisoned and taken for granted. And there is going to be huge cataclysms, as we have already seen. And there's also huge opportunities for, as the earth gets warmer, that it gets kinder instead of meaner. And kids have a longing for kindness and harmony and we nurture this. The news is filled with adults who are talking or behaving badly. And this longing for a peaceful world that all kids have, until they get the story of, I have to hurt someone who hurt me or people I loved with, my loved one. We can change the world the same way that the idea of slavery got changed. It did not get changed from the top down. No government easily passed a bill doing proclamation. It came from people saying, we want a world without slavery. And we still have slavery, and yet it is not the agreed-upon practice. And we can make a world that has the agreed-upon practice, that everyone has needs that can be respected. Everyone is supposed to be here. Everyone has gifts that we need.
Well, if you look at just our country, which is in relation to other countries, a baby country, you know, of 200 years, every major thing that came about, including, you know, the more recent things, has been as a result of a grassroots. The only thing that I can think of that actually came out of the top from President Lincoln was the Emancipation Proclamation. But that is was in response to, you know, all the underground things that were happening. And I believe that that's how you get change to happen. And children, just like in the Bible, you know, Jesus, children will lead the way because a child is born innocent. It's not until we teach them bigotry, hatred, you know, right down the line. They're not born with that.
And self-doubt. We teach our kids self-doubt, and we're constantly making them feel wrong in the school setting. One of the people I'm very excited about working with is named Judith Glasser, who wrote a book called Conversational Intelligence. Hmm. And she comes from the corporate world, and she's been looking at the neuroscience and chemistry of conversation. And she has boiled conversation down to three levels. Level one is you do what you're told, or you are working to have a communication about how to make things work on a very simple level. Level two is you advocate for your position. And these levels are not good or bad. However, if you are advocating for your position in such a way that the other person has to be wrong and you're right, and we get a dopamine hit out of being right, that triggers the reptile brain. And if you tell people what to do in a nasty way, that triggers the reptile brain. And that means you can't do strategic thinking. The third level is to explore, discover, and share. And that allows us to use our prefrontal cortex and our neocortex and to think and invent and have strategies. If we conceive of schools, again, here's my Aladdin lamp. The schools are based on play, passion, and purpose, and strive for level three conversations all the time. Let's explore, discover, and share together. We would have incredibly happy, productive kids, and I think much happier teachers.
Absolutely, because they will move from being prison guards to teachers. You know, I have a friend who's a teacher, and I hear the stories, and she's actually in a child care type, you know, whatever they call those, and works with the very young. And, you know, it's amazing, just simple changes, like letting them choose the chair they want to sit in, or letting them choose milk or juice, things like that. And, you know, they open up and, you know, they sing songs with her. She writes music and stuff. They, you know, you can see that creative purpose coming right about. And that's only, you know, 4 and 5 year olds, well, 3 and 4 year olds.
And the one of the reasons why the creative act releases so many positive hormones is because you are making decisions. Mm-hmm. And when you can make, you have the freedom to make decisions, that releases a lot of positive hormones. And when you're told what to do and you're being, you know, we have so much of our schooling is to test the kids and to prove them wrong.
Right.
So they're shut down. And life will tell you what's wrong. So you can do real projects. I remember when I was teaching fourth grade at a Waldorf charter school, and I told my students that the windmills in California are placed in the places where wind travels, which also happens to be the place where birds travel. The migratory birds path was taking them into the windmills. And
yes.
In 10 minutes, we had so many amazing ideas for how to handle that problem. And I did not have the wherewithal to take one of those ideas and to test it. You know, that's real success and failure. You know, because we have so many challenges. You know, we have dead zones in the ocean. We have the birds who are dying because the ocean is 1 degree warmer and the fish are going lower and the birds can't get them. And the baby seals that are dying because the fish are going to where it's cooler and they're not strong enough to get there. We have 35,000 boa constrictors or pythons, Burmese pythons in Florida's Everglades. We have so many great, real problems. You know, let's use the genius of the youth to address those things while they're learning how to work together.
And I think that that your programs, you're trying to tie these together, is a great work. I'm really blessed that we cross paths because, as you know, I don't usually have guests on and then forget about them. So I will be haunting you
that is
throughout the year.
And I would like to make an offer to your listeners. If there's anyone who would like to use creativity to enhance student performance or adult performance, that they could call me for a free half-hour consultation. And my phone number is 415-612-0401. And you would just have to mention that you heard me on Reverend Judy's program. And I would love to explore how we can nurture this gift that everyone has and that is so needed to bring images of beauty in when we're surrounded and bombarded with so much ugliness, and to bring creative solutions to communities' challenges. It's all in us. We can do it.
Yeah, we can. And like many things that are good and right, it's a matter of grassroots, you know, word of mouth. When I started the Journey 8, I started with $300 in my pocket, you know.
Wow.
And you know, we just keep going. God provides. And I think in a sense, if you let yourself fall into this creativity place, you're going to be provide. God's going to provide. You know, because the first thing I could think of is people are going to say, oh, I'm not artistic. I can't even draw a straight line. And I think when you open yourself up and you have that in touch with other people and with God, you'd be surprised what you can do.
I always love to share the fact that we are all taught how to use straight lines and curved lines when we write. And everybody in our school is taught that they can write, and it's assumed that everyone can write. Well, humans have been drawing for over 60,000 years, and we've been writing for 5,000 years.
Right.
And the wisdom that comes out of your hand when you draw an image is amazing. And I, want to help us be a healthy village, because we, for over millions of years, we lived in a village and knew about 200 people our whole life. And in that village, we made beautiful symbols that everyone understood. We sang together, we danced together, we ate together, we took care of the children and the elders and did the work of life. And creating images is a way to help share your inner experience, which increases trust. And now we're being entertained. We're watching people dance. We're buying food out. Our clothes don't have spiritual meaning. They have commercial meaning, you know, with logos on them. And the children help us remember the village, and they help us create the village. And I so agree what you said about a child shall lead them, because if we made this world safe for children, we would have heaven on earth.
Yes, and so, regretfully to say, we're about ready to wind up for the night, but thank you so much for finally connecting and being here. I really appreciate it.
My joy.
And again, how do people get a hold of you?
You can reach me at Laurie@createpeaceproject.org or Laurie, and that's Laurie, at beatingtheoddsnow.com. There is a website of beatingtheoddsnow.com, which is for educators.
Great.
And Singing Tree Project, no the, singingtreeproject.org will take you to all the singing trees. And you can call me at 415-612-0401. If you would like a free half-hour consultation about how to bring creativity to increase performance in schools, businesses, homes, churches.
Great. Well, I hope that you come back and we talk some more about the programs. And again, thank you for being here. And
you're
I think
so welcome.
We're just about ready to say goodnight. So goodnight.
Good night, Reverend Judy.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening to The Journey 8, and please come back and join us again. Remember, be kind in all you do, and the kindness will come back to you. Grace and peace, Judy Hasner.